Good morning.
Good morning.
I've said the last 2 weeks, welcome to Extraordinary Time, but today we finally get to get into a Sunday that is set aside as Ordinary Time. The last two Sundays, we've had solemnities, and now we find ourselves in this longest season in the life of the church, and some of you may go, oh, well, it's Ordinary Time. It's that time we just kind of, we sit back and we coast. No. This is the longest season in the life of the church for a reason. It's given to us because it's a time of learning. It's a time of us getting to take on the life of the disciples, to come and sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from the things He says and learn from the things that He does and take on a new life in Him. We heard in the scripture this morning there's a paraphrase that in the beginning of the missal for this morning, and it says that it cost you nothing, but it gave you everything. Our salvation has cost us individually absolutely nothing. We didn't have to pay an entry fee. We didn't have to do this or do that. All we had to do was accept the cost that had already been paid, and that was that Jesus Christ came to save the world. And we hear this wonderful message in our readings today. In the first reading from Exodus, there's a story of salvation. And some of you may be going, wait, that's Old Testament, salvation. No, it is. It's a story of salvation. The story of Exodus is a story of salvation, of God coming and freeing the children of Israel from their captivity. This is a story of salvation. God saved them from this struggling life that they had, and He brought them into new opportunities. Paul tells us in our second reading about the story of our salvation, that Christ came to us, and Valerie did a great job of sharing that with us. But in the second reading, we hear this message that begins with, Christ, while we were still helpless, yet died at an appointed time for the ungodly. Sorry, my eyes had to focus there for a minute. I talk about this in Sunday school. We've had this conversation quite a few times in the last few months, that we have to acknowledge what we don't have before we can appreciate what we've been given. We have to acknowledge that if left only to our flesh, that we find ourselves in a state of ungodliness. But Christ came to offer us divine nature in and of Himself, that we might attain righteousness. This morning we were talking again in our Sunday school, and it amazes me because the program we're doing has nothing to do with the lectionary, but yet it seems to fall hand in hand all so often with the scripture readings that we get within the Mass. But we heard this morning that if we've accepted Christ and His redemptive work within us, we have become the righteousness of God. I want y'all to ponder on that for just a minute. What does it mean if we are individually and collectively the righteousness of God in Christ? That seems like a great honor. It seems like it's something we should aspire to, not something that we've yet attained, and yet Scripture says that in Christ we have become the righteousness of God. If I am the righteousness of God, if you are the righteousness of God, this is a title given to you as a gift. It's not a title you've earned. I know I haven't. I mean, I've had some good days, but I've also had some bad days. And if we start weighing and measuring, I'm not going to live up to that title. But God says, I've given you a gift in my Son. I've given you a gift in Christ Jesus. I've given you a gift in the redemption of the world, that you might be the righteousness of God. In that righteousness, we're called to live it out. How do I live it out? By living up to it. Am I going to fail at times? Absolutely. But here's the good news. Paul talked about in the second reading, we've been given this gift called reconciliation, where God can restore us over and over and over again into the nature He's called us to, that we again might live in and of the righteousness of God. There's adages that have been done with studies with children, that if you tell a child they're good enough, and you compliment them and you encourage them, they'll live up to that standard. By the same token, if you tell a child that they're bad and you tell them that often enough, they'll live down to that standard. God wants to tell us that we are good. We are created in the image and likeness of God. This is His call upon our life. We've messed up. Adam and Eve fell from grace. They sinned. We speak of the continuum of that life being the weakness of our flesh, the weakness that sin entered the world. But Christ came to restore us to everlasting life, to give us the hope beyond hope, the hope beyond what we could imagine, the work beyond what we could do, that we might be living in Him, and living in Him and He in us, we become righteous. I love the fact in the gospel reading this morning that when it speaks of the naming of the 12, it calls out Judas. It does give the caveat, the one who betrayed him. But Jesus knew them by name, and He knows us by name. Jesus calls us first to be disciples of Him, to come and to sit and to learn and to listen and to study and to apply all the things that He's given us in His life to our life. But then there comes a point. To be a disciple is to be a student. But there also comes a point where we are called to begin to step outside of what we've come as a student to do, and we begin to step out as one who disciples others. Now we hear about the calling of the 12 today, and some might ask in reading the scripture, well, Jesus knew everything. He was godly. He was divine. How did He not know that Judas was going to betray Him? He did. He called him anyway. Because He saw an opportunity there, even in Judas, to lead him into righteousness. But wait a minute. He sent him out on this mission that we hear about in the gospel this morning. Why would you send somebody out who's going to be a betrayer? Won't that like somehow give a bad signal to the world? Apparently not. God's willingness to use all of them shows the depth of His love for all of us. We, again, playing back in our Sunday school this morning. Some of y'all need to come to Sunday school just because you'd hear part of the homily before you ever got here. I mean, it allows me to like reinforce things. But another part of what we were talking about in our Sunday school program this morning had to do, when we come to Christ, the old, the sinful nature, the old of us is cast off. Now, part of that is by our doing, that we say, I'm not going to live that way anymore. But part of it is by the righteousness of Christ coming in and on us through the power of the Holy Spirit begins to change the way that we act, the way that we speak, and the way that we do. The old is cast off and the new is taken on. We start to struggle with it a little bit. St. Paul himself says that his flesh is weak, but his spirit is strong. He dealt with his flesh, and he had to fight, had to battle with that in an ongoing way. We all have to do that. But the more we battle with our flesh, the more we take on the life and the spirit, the easier it gets, the more skilled we become at dealing with those things. But God calls us to deal with those things. God calls us to strive to be righteous. God calls us to strive to be holy. We're not going to ever do it by our own strength and by our own doing, but we will accomplish it through the power of the Holy Spirit that is dwelling within us. We may be in an ordinary time, but we are called to be extraordinary people. Not by our power, but by the power of the Lord. He has shown us the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who stands as the bridge between here and heaven. Where He has gone, we also will go. And the only way we accomplish that is by surrendering ourselves fully and completely to His will in our lives. God doesn't call us to be smart enough. God doesn't call us to be good enough. God doesn't call us within ourselves to be righteous enough. What He calls us to is surrender. That His place in our life, His power in our life, will allow us to become the righteousness of God in Christ. May we surrender this day the weaknesses of our flesh, that we might take on the strength of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that we might live out each day the righteousness of Christ in us, for the sake of not only ourselves and our church, but for the sake of the world around us, that they too may come to know Him. Amen.